Well, I'm going to hopefully this month finish up the Detours of Parenting that we started way back. I think January or February when I was doing a month of Sunday school here and there. We tried to get through a lot of these, or maybe it was this summer. I lose track of time. But we've only got about three or four left, and we want to get to deal with those, and hopefully it'll encourage us. Again, it was a book that was written by Dr. Walt Brock, who's out in Ironwood Camp out west. He's had a successful camp ministry and church there for many, many years, Ironwood, and he gave me permission to use this. I heard him speak at a conference, and he was excellent, and he gave me permission to use this for our Sunday school. He was glad to have it out there. So we've been going through and talking about some of the things, perhaps, that as parents, we don't realize, but we do certain things and have certain habits that have a negative effect on our children later. It actually detours them from being what they should be with the Lord. And because there's a problem in their heart and life as well, it can be a detour and something that could be dangerous. We dealt with, I'm just going to quickly go through them, not to go into detail, but we had delayed discernment as parents, or defiling bitterness, when we have bitterness in our hearts, when we have dishonorable deportment or behavior, when we have disobeying duties, which dealt with the role of husband and wife, when we have disbelieving practices, where we say one thing that we believe, but we do another. When we have dominating discontentment. That was the last one we dealt with. If you remember, we spent some time talking about contentment versus covetousness, and how the love of money, the root of all evil, what we're supposed to flee, follow, and fight. We spent some time dealing with those things as well. Those were the six that we've looked at so far. And today we want to start with number seven, distracted parents. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, this is very familiar verses. I like Ephesians chapter 5 because it's very practical. It says, okay, you're a believer, your life has been changed, so now you have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say what kind of things that entails to follow the Lord. And when we read through Ephesians chapter 5, which we're not going to, there's a lot of things in this chapter that we realize, whew, we got a long way to go, don't we? We got a long way to go as we follow the Lord. We need to continue to be conformed to Him. But we get down to verse number 15, and I wanted to use these verses that Dr. Brock uses, distracted parents, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. So we can either be a fool or we can be wise, and it has to do with verse 15, or verse 16, what we do with our time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil, and he continues and goes back to that wisdom, verse 17, therefore be ye not unwise, don't be foolish, don't be unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. We live in days where, and we're going to talk about time, distracted parenting is really a misplacement of time. And I tell you what, it's one of the difficult things to do. And I can tell you right now, as I was studying through this, I probably should not be the one up here speaking on this. No question. My wife is nodding her head. Yes, I should not be the one talking about where I put my time. Because I know my problem. I can't say no. We're going to talk about that. So I'm going and doing 100 miles an hour and working 80 hours a week or whatever it is. And that's the problem. I'll go ahead and tell you right up front. I look back at the last 15 years and I should have been home more. For certain things. But yeah, you were up at the school. Yeah. Okay. That's good. I was serving the Lord. But you got to balance that. It's very dangerous. And it's something that you've got to be careful with. Story after story of, you know, you can burn out and the next thing you know, you lost your family. Oh, I served the Lord. I was up there doing every mission ministry thing you can imagine. I never said no. I participated in everything. And I was there, you know, and there's nothing wrong. We want to be there. We want to serve. We want to help. But sometimes we better be careful with that. We got to balance that because there's something at home as well. Your children, your family, your wife. And many times we get the excuse of, well, I'm doing it for the Lord so they can just go on the back burner. And that's wrong. That's wrong. We got to be careful with those kind of things. These are the things that he's going to talk about. And it's tricky because, yeah, well, Lord, we're serving you in the ministry. Yes, we are. Or I'm making this money so that my wife and children can have what they need. So I'm out there just working, 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 and I'm going to get this so that they can be happy, and it's for my wife and kids. But sometimes, and well, I shouldn't say sometimes, time is more important. It's been said many times, how do children spell the word love? T-I-M-E. One way to look at it. You think about children that don't have a two-parent home and all the statistics about that. Children that don't have dad around. Children that don't have mom around. Or maybe there's dad's a single parent or mom's the single parent. Or sad cases where the parents don't even want their kids. They just give them up or they're orphaned. Maybe it's a sad situation where the parents died. Children need that time with the parents. So we're going to talk about the distractions. How we use our time affects our children. How we choose to use our time affects our children. And the verse here, the passage tells us to redeem or to purchase back. Now, there are a lot of distractions now more than ever if you look at our society. The average household, this is actually one of the statistics, the average household is supported by 2.5 full-time jobs. But whenever this book was written a few years ago, 2.5 full-time jobs to support the household. And then now we have, sorry if I'm going to get political, Bidenflation, which makes it, you probably have to work 10 jobs. I don't know. So it's difficult. You have to, you know, provide for your family. But here's the problem. Sometimes we work so much because of the things that we want money-wise instead of things that we actually need. So it's a prioritizing. It's where are we being distracted with those times of things? So, we can, you know, there's all these things we could do. We want to have, you know, we want to get the job and get the money so we can do these things. And we say, you know, I'm going to get this job and so I can, you know, save up and do this with my family. And then we never do it. You know, you got to be careful with those kind of things. And, you know, I'm pretty guilty of it. I work at Gators all summer. And Gators basically allows my family and I to go on an annual Labor Day vacation. And so we look forward to that. So as I'm pouring grease with Bill at 10:30 at night in the heat, I just keep thinking, boy, that vacation with my family is going to be so much fun. And it is, and we have a lot of fun with that. But the other problem is you can say, well, I'm going to keep and get, and then you never, you know, workaholic, you never take your family or do things or spend time with your children. And of course, in our society, it takes money to do things. It takes money to travel to a state park. It takes money to do whatever you're going to do, especially when gas is pretty high like it's been lately. So you have to have money to do things. But are we going to, you know, make it as affordable as possible, as cheap as possible? Does it have to be the most exquisite? Does it have to be the most luxurious? We can do things with our time. We can purchase back. We don't have to spend our time focused solely on ourselves to the kind of loss of our children. So we're going to redeem the time to buy it back. And why are we going to do that? Because the days are evil. The days are evil. You know, there's a lot of urgent voices that are out there. Urgent voices. And something may be urgent, but what's the most important? And that's kind of what we have to focus on. So what are the days being evil? It kind of has the idea that they're difficult. They're wicked days. They're very hard for a Christian. They're full of peril to your faith. The world wants, in the days in which we live, wants to diminish your belief in the Lord. They want to take you away from what's spiritually important. And, you know, if Paul was writing this way back in the first century to the Ephesians about the days being evil then, I mean, where do you think we are now as society has continued to progress? I tell the students this all the time as we, you know, they have a hard time imagining that. Because I tell them, I'm like, you know, you guys are the I generation or Gen Z, whatever people call them. It's basically a generation that has never known a world where the internet did not exist. Now, we know what that's like, right? I guess I'm old enough now to say that we, and I tell them back in the 80s when we didn't have cell phones. They can't imagine. I told them, I said, we had this phone that was on the wall, okay? Or it was on a stand with a big dial. And they're like, Mrs. Whitney brought one time up and put it in the front, put it right on the desk where the students come in to get things and come to the office to make copies and such. And she just set it there for a couple days. And students walk in like, literally, I know, what is that? Well, this is a phone. What? How do you carry it? You don't? What's that big dial? How do you call a number? They were totally lost. And it's even funnier to watch them try to use the big office phones that we have for intercoms and stuff and trying to watch them try to dial a number. They're like, what do you do? Area code. You know, they're like, what's an area code? They're just used to hitting mom. You know, they don't know. I tell them, I was like, there was this world where, you know, and then you could get really neat and you could have one of those phones on the wall that had like the really long extension cord. I think Megan, y'all had one. She could walk all the way to the other end of the house almost and still talk on the phone. Man, that's high living. We can move. And then I said, and in the 90s, something crazy happened. they had these cordless phones. It's still hand, you know, it's still like a landline, but wow, it was on a, I didn't have to stand right by the phone. And we could go wherever we wanted to and talk on the phone, walk around the house, and even go outside a little bit and still get a signal. Man, this is big stuff. And I tell them about how in the 90s we got our first home computer. Went to People's Computer in Cary, North Carolina at Crossroads Plaza, and there it was, the massive 400-pound box, the huge tube monitor. I'm telling you, we took that thing home. We had no idea what it was. No idea. We're just like, cool, Dad bought a computer. And it had this thing called Netscape. What's that? We clicked on it, and we went on the web and had no idea what we were looking at. I was like, what is this? This is a weird-looking screen. All right, let's go outside and play. It was dumb. We didn't know what it was. And they can't fathom that, you know. They just cannot fathom that, you know, we had those kind of things. And then when I got my first laptop, it was the big brick thing, you know, and those kind of things. They're just like listening intently to the prehistoric ages that I grew up in. The reason why I'm saying all that is because you think about how quickly and accessible evil is now. Right? It's at your fingertips. And, you know, we see the dangers of it at school all the time when kindergartners. Well, mommy gave me an iPhone for Christmas with everything on it. Oh, that's cool. And they have no idea the dangers. They have no idea the things. I'll tell you a couple things. I found out some new stuff all the time. There's apps that are calculators. Okay, y'all know that? There's really good ones. Like John has a cool scientific calculator app on his phone. Really neat for us science nerds. But there's an app that looks like a calculator. And you open up the calculator. And you punch in a 4-digit code on the calculator, and it unlocks an entire world in the child's cell phone with apps and accounts that mom has no idea about. That factual, I've seen it. And so mom, oh, I'm going to check your phone. Yep, doesn't look like there's anything on there. Let me check your Instagram. Yep, that looks pretty good. Let me check your text. Oh, that looks pretty good. Meanwhile, whole nother world that mom has no idea about. We've got to be vigilant more than ever. Why? Because the days are evil. It's difficult and hard, as Mike Schrock was saying, it's difficult and hard to do right. It's hard. And that's why he keeps saying, I love the way he says, quit being a baby and grow up and be a man and do right. Boy, we need to hear that, don't we? And we just got to do it. And we make the excuses and no, just quit being a baby. Do right. Make the choice. And it's hard, though. It's hard. I mean, we know what it was like when we were teenagers. Imagine being a teenager with this. Imagine it. And how difficult it is and all the things that... The days are evil. Now more than ever, we've got to redeem the time. We've got to buy that time with our children. We've got to prioritize the time with our families and with what we do with our children, or we're going to have them go down that same distracted life. So it seems today that there are more choices for evil that present themselves than there are choices for good. This way it seems. I mean, there's evil everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. And sure, you know, I mean, it's funny because I mean, when I was a kid, you know, we had TV, right? Wow. First, we had this big, massive one. And I tell the kids this, too. It cracks me up. They have no idea what we're talking about, the dark ages here. I remember my dad, he worked a lot of hours during the week, and he, you know, a lot of times he had to work on Saturdays, too. But he would always, on Friday night, he would come home, and we would try to do something together at home. And I remember he would go down to Video Wiz. Megan knows where that is in Dunn. He would stop at Video Wiz in either Andrew or Dunn on his way home, and he would, this is, now hold on to your seats now. He would rent a VCR. Kids don't even know what a VCR is. They even had a big case. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Chris, you ever seen that big plastic case? And they had the 5 movies for 5 nights for $5. And he'd get the classics like Heidi, the old one, the one I hated the most, Little Lord Fauntleroy. Chris and I joke about that one all the time. You know, Red Badge of Courage and, you know, just old movies, maybe, no, Captain Courageous, not Red Badge of Courage. Captain's Courageous and all these old black, and we would watch them, 7 Brides for 7 Brothers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I enjoy the fun one, the old school. They were fun. I grew up watching that stuff, and I had sisters, and then we had to watch stuff that I didn't like, but I did anyway, because they liked horses and Black Beauty, and Anyway, and then my dad would get a couple old war movies, and he'd let us three boys watch a war movie from World War II. And I know this isn't politically correct, but I'm going to tell you, it was a big deal when I was a kid. This is wrong, but when I was a kid, we were under the impression that World War II was still going on. We did not like the Germans. They were the Krauts. We're the Americans, and we're taking them down. We were out there digging bunkers, shooting guns. I'm telling you, it was real to us, buddy. We go to the surplus store where he got camo. We got the whole nine yards. We said, man, them Germans come over here. Hitler's going down. We had no idea, but we'd watch war movies with my dad, you know, the old series named Combat with Sergeant Saunders. Not my favorite. We used to watch them. It was so fun. But dad would come home with a VCR, and then for the first about hour, we'd all be angry and frustrated trying to hook it up to the TV to try to get it to work, and you're plugging this in, screwing that in, and it wouldn't work. He gets all mad, and we're all mad, and we're finally, oh, hey, it magically came on, and then you got to rewind it, right? Y'all, you know, remember this? I heard a groan there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Be kind and please rewind, right? I'm really telling my age here. And you'd sit there and wait. And they came out with these machines. As you stick it in. Whoa! That thing rewound in about 5 seconds. This is cool. And that's just some fun memories that I have with my dad. He would always say, we're gonna have pizza. And my dad, if you know him, likes to eat, so he'd come home on a Friday night with a VCR and a pizza. We knew it was old home week. We're going to have a ball tonight. This is going to be great. And so we used to do those kind of things with my dad, and I have fond memories about that. It took all that, and we were doing it together as a family. Now it's individual kids just sitting on their own thing without the parents having a clue, and they're in their own rooms. There's no family. No family. It's just, I'm going to do what I want, and he's going to do what he wants. He's going to do what he wants, you know, whatever. And it's becoming, there's more choices for evil than there are for good. More choices for evil. And Satan has worked really hard, and the world has worked really hard, because that's what sin is. Okay? Sin wants you to continue to sin. And so now we've got all this. Yeah, that's a great tool. I enjoy my iPhone. It's neat. I can do all kinds of stuff with it. You know, if I'm traveling and don't have my laptop, I can pull up every file on my laptop right here on my phone. And it's good. I enjoy it. I like the technology. And when it works, right, it's actually working today. We're good. I like that. But there's dangers. There's dangers. And so if we aren't careful in redeeming the time, things can happen and detour our children. So this wise versus foolish is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. Wise versus foolish. So do the important first. It's foolish to believe, for example, what's foolish parenting? Foolish parenting says, well, there's no hardships out here in the world. There's no battle going on. There's no orders from God to obey. You know, we don't need to spend our time loving and raising our children. It doesn't matter. We're not in a fight. We're not in a battle. And that is exactly the lie that the world and the devil want you to believe. And our flesh, that other enemy, world, flesh, and devil, the flesh kind of falls into that and likes the way it sounds, and we pick up on it and we take it. That's foolish parenting. Our kids will be all right. There's no battle out there. And the world is just waiting to devour. Satan is a roaring lion, and he's ready. And he wants to take young people that know the Lord, he wants to take them out and down. He wants to get rid of them. Remove their influence from off of this earth. So that's foolish parenting. We can also be foolish, really, as husband and wife. We talked about roles and duties last time, a while ago, but if the husband neglects the wife, like I'm too busy with other things, or the wife neglects the husband because she's so focused on the children, you ever seen that? When a child is born, that's wonderful and it's amazing. But the husband and wife is the priority. Oh, did that make people mad? I don't know. But it's true. And we love children, I think. Do we love our children? I wonder sometimes. Just kidding. We love our children. But I'm not going to, don't be mad. I love my wife more than I love all four of my boys combined. I don't know if she can say that about me. You know, she says I'm raising four boys and a baby. But we joke around about that. But I love my wife more than my children combined. And there's nothing wrong. You love your children. And they are a priority, yes. And you want to care for them. But if the wife just puts all her focus on the child and neglects the husband, you know what's going to happen? A child-centered home. a child-centered home. Children need a two-parent home that has the right priorities. A two-parent home with the right priorities. Again, we could look at all the statistics that are out there about one-parent homes or when dad leaves and all these things, and they wonder what's wrong with America. The family unit has been completely annihilated. This started back a while. I talk about this all the time. When I was a boy, and I know this seems, not to some of you, but to some of you younger ones, the 80s seems like a long time ago. And others of you are like, I was in college in the 80s, or I was already married in the 80s, or I was, you know, in the end of my, I was retiring in the 80s, or I don't know how old some of you are, but I was in the 80s. Even on like TV and stuff, family was still kind of important. And in the 90s, they started kind of downplaying family. They started coming out with these shows to diminish dad and make him look stupid. I know I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just saying reality. You can go back and look at it yourself. Dad's always the dummy. Dad's always the idiot. And I know it's just fun. It's just a show. But it kind of started working to make it acceptable to culture. And I remember, I've said this before, in the 90s, we were in shock that there was a TV show that promoted people living together outside of marriage. Oh, let's just get an apartment and see together. We're all just going to live together and have relationships. Who cares? And we were just like, my parents were like, you're not watching. We're never watching that. And then 10 more years, that's the normal. And now we've got sodomy and homosexuality everywhere on the TV shows. Because, you know, you're not woke if you don't have that. We're going to cancel you. So you have to, you know, make steps to show that you're accepting of it. So you got to put it in your TV shows. And every sitcom's got at least one gay something or other, it seems. What have we done? Completely destroyed the family. And now we've got some ridiculous bill that almost went to the Senate last week, the Respect for Marriage Act. Well, it sounds noble, doesn't it? Respect for marriage, a 100% lie. It's a lie. They didn't have respect for marriage because marriage, the very word marriage, means a man and woman. That's what the word means. Oh, I don't. Period. That'd be like me saying, well, that's not blue. You know, these walls aren't accessible beige. I know that because I painted them. Those aren't accessible beige. Those are grizzle gray. An accent wall I painted in my boys' rooms yesterday. They're grizzle gray. I have just redefined the color accessible beige. No, accessible beige is accessible beige. Grizzle gray is grizzle gray. And I can start listing a bunch of other paint colors, but that would be for another time. That's how silly it is to say, well, marriage is between anything. No, it's not. Then call it something else. So they've redefined marriage to just simply mean it's a union of anything. That's what our world thinks. Marriage is a union of anything. No, the definition is man and woman. So if you want to do that, you're free to do that in this country. It's terrible. It's diabolical. It's sinful. You shouldn't do it. Call it something else at least. Don't call it marriage. I am not. No, I'm going to get canceled. Yeah, I'm not woke. But this is the days that we live in. It's very evil. And children need a home with two parents that are spending the adequate time to raise those children and are dedicated to those children. Our society, again, as I've said, has taken steps to completely annihilate that. And Satan is sitting back laughing. Laughing. Because he's got our country and people right where he wants them. I fear for the next generation. And people said it all when I was growing up. Oh, you're going to have it a lot worse than me. Now it's kind of like, whatever. But now I look at it and I'm like, wow. They're going to, you know, you can go to prison. You can go to prison. Your life can be totally ruined for believing in a biblical principle. That's where we are. We haven't had to face that yet in our lives. I think that's coming for this next generation. So the easy thing is to just say, well, I'll just hide. It's going to be tricky. Going to be difficult. Yes. It is. And 2.5 full-time jobs and all the other things. And I mean, we see it a lot. The kids that get dropped off at 6 in the morning and get picked up at 5:30 or 6 at night. And I've had kids literally tell me, well, I just go to my room and close the door. Mom, they don't care. I just do what I want. That explains a lot. But there's, I remember the good days like that when with my mom and dad, we each had our own seat at the table. And I always sat at my dad's right hand. I don't know why, but I wasn't even the oldest, but I just liked sitting by my dad. He and I were close. We worked together. And I always sat right there. And if my brother Daniel tried to take that seat, it was war. And then mom would get upset at us and we'd have a whole problem and things like that. But I'm going to start talking about food, though, if I go down that memory of my mom making homemade apple dumplings for breakfast and, I mean, all kinds of good blueberry cobblers. And I was like, no wonder I'm putting on some weight over here. I'm just thinking about it. But anyway, it's good. Eat together, do things together, and learn about each other. So our world wants you to diminish those things. So the role neglect, we just talked about that. You can develop a child-centered home by neglecting your role, duty, and wife. Husband and wife duties there. If the husband's just so busy, he's just going to neglect the wife, well, then that's going to cause a problem. Children are going to pick up on that. Same thing the other way around. Let's quickly go on. What is some ways that we can parent wisely with our time? And Dr. Brock here gave several that I'm going to share with you. You know, you don't want your home to become child-centered. And you say, well, what does that mean? I'm going to use an old word. They're basically spoiled brats. You know, oh, that's offensive. We don't say that much anymore, right? Spoiled brats. In other words, if I don't get what I want, I'm going to throw a fit. No, I've told you about Andy Griffith. You know, I love Andy Griffith. I've watched every one of them. I mean, it's from North Carolina. That's where I'm from. I've watched every one of them multiple times. And in the old days, I have to say the old days now, even for DVDs, right? We were talking about VCRs. Well, that's like ancient. DVDs are like super old, you know, and now it's all stream everything. I used to own all the DVDs, and we would watch them. We would travel to North Carolina, and we had this DVD player in our van, and our boys would watch Andy Griffith. It was good stuff. But that one where Opie realized the other boy in town, he's, you know, getting everything he wanted, brand new bicycle, whatever he wants. And he was like, you're out here cleaning your garage. You need to tell your dad to pay you. You know, so Opie's going to be the big boy and go to his dad. I need an allowance raise. And his dad said, no, you know, and gave him the one thing. You know, what are you doing? Well, I'm holding my breath. Okay, well, just make sure you don't pass out. When he got down there and started rolling around the floor and all that stuff, and he said, what are you doing now? And he said, I'm throwing a tamper. He said, well, don't get your jeans too dirty. And, I just love that one. I don't know if any of you have seen that. But, you know, go ahead and throw your temper tantrum. Who cares, you know? But that's a spoiled brat. That's a spoiled brat. All he cares about is what I need and what I want. And there's nothing wrong. Yes, we want to have a good relationship with children, please them. I mean, I buy my kids stuff. We do things together. Fun, wonderful. But you don't want it to be like where they become entitled. Oh, I'm afraid to tell my child no. If you're afraid to tell your child no, there's a problem. Yes. Yes. Yes, he said, my dad, it's tough. He'll go to jail for me. His dad was like, I will. And you know, Andy said, there's an old-fashioned woodshed in the back. He was like, really? Let's go. Anyway, that's a good one. So anyway, spoiled. That's where it'll end up. Spoiled. But anyway, we got to move on. The first thing, we can doesn't mean always that we should. Dr. Brock gives the example. Maybe we don't need to take that promotion that will keep us away from home more, just as our children are becoming teenagers and needing our time more than ever. Well, you can do it, but should you? What's the best for your family at the specific time that you're about to make that choice? Here's my weakness right here. Learn to say no. I've tried more. I was really excited the other day. What was it, Thursday? I think Eva was in there. It was like 4:15, and I said, you know what? I've been here till like 7 o'clock every night. I'm going home. It will be here tomorrow. Went home, hung out. Seth got off work. It was a fun time. Do that more often. It'll be there. Just say no. Yeah, there's things that are pressing, things that need to get done. That's understandable. But, you know, it can't be nonstop, constant. Got to be careful that we're learning to say no. Dr. Brock said he saw a plaque hanging in a restaurant that said the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but the quacking duck gets shot. Okay? In other words, there's some urgencies that need grease, right? But there's other ones that you just need to eliminate them. It's the quacking duck. Go ahead and kill it. Be done with it. Get rid of it. Don't go there. Just, yes, take care of what you need to take care of. There's urgencies that are important. You got to deal with it. Do it. But there's some that are just, you don't necessarily have to do that. Postpone it. Delay. Push it, things off. So forth. The next one. The urgent is the enemy of the important. This deals with prioritizing. So don't neglect the eternal importance for the cry of the today's urgent, no matter how loud that might be. Again, he mentions one of the devil's lies is that the most important thing we can do is provide for our children financially. Now, is that an important thing to do? Well, sure it is. The Bible says if you don't provide for your home, you are worse than an infidel. That's just factual. There's nothing worse than a deadbeat dad. You hear that phrase. It's horrible. You had the children, you provide for them. Don't be rotten. But at the same time, that is important, but we cannot spend all of our time, jobs and everything that we're doing, constant work, nonstop, that we don't spend the important time with our children on the things that matter spiritually. The things that are going to help them with eternal values as well. You know, yeah, we all have hobbies and we all enjoy doing things together. It's fun to do different kind of things. I wish that I've always enjoyed playing basketball. And as my boys have gotten older, Jared enjoys basketball, but he doesn't enjoy basketball much anymore as he does soccer. Now, when I was a boy in the 90s, I don't know about y'all, 80s and 90s, we looked at soccer like a bunch of wimps. They're always rolling around on the ground. We're like, American football, tackle, no helmet, broken legs, and mom's yelling at us. Concussions, what's that? We were all like, He-Man, football, right? And so we didn't like soccer growing up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Was it that way? It was that way, wasn't it? Back in the 80s, 90s, that kind of thing. But now it's I tell you what, I didn't like soccer growing up, never watched it. I actually enjoy it. It's fun. Passing the ball and having a plan to, if you want to see some cool soccer, just watch our team. They've learned how to pass really well. And they just take the ball at the defense, pass it around until they're ready, and then they just ding, 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 right up to the goal. It's kind of fun to watch. Instead of just, it's fun. I enjoy watching that. But my sad thing is I wish I could play soccer with Jared. You don't want me out anywhere near a soccer field. I go out there and I'll talk to coach. And the other day I was picking with Christian and I said, Christian, I'm going to pass you the ball. I actually did it and it went in a straight line. He was like, wow, you did it. And I'm like, I'm stopping. I'm right. Asa, you don't want me out there. I would break both knees, have no idea what I'm doing. I would be kicking the ball, all shanking is what they call it, right? I would love to spend time playing soccer with Jared and even Isaac, right? Isaac plays too, my sons. I never got to play with Seth either. That's not my thing. But I enjoy doing certain hobbies together with them, and I'm trying to figure out what they like that I like. I like to paint. Jared rolled with me this summer in the 100-and-something degree heat, and he decided this is not cool. Literally, this is hot. Do certain things together. This is a bad thing. We like talking about cars. We like fast cars. I don't know what our problem is. We don't have any, but we enjoy talking about them and dreaming about what would it be like to have a Shelby Mustang and go, have the exhaust. And they're like, Dad, did you see this new car they made in Europe? And we enjoy talking about those things together. Find something that, your hobby is always you. I'm going to go with my friends. Include your children. Include them in what you're doing. Important things, not just fun things. I've been talking about fun things. What about important things? What about talking to them about spiritual things? What about talking to them about what direction they're headed in their life? I used to hate it. I don't know if my dad's going to go back and listen to this, but I couldn't stand it when my dad would come up to me and say, son, did you read your Bible today? Got me. No, I didn't. So let's go, son. My dad would do that to me quite frequently. Or he'd say, son, you need to go pray through. I couldn't stand it when he said that either because I knew he was right. He'd say, get rid of your pride and go pray through. Yes, sir. And you'd have to go, you're talking about, and you know, my dad was huge influence on me on what I was going to do with my life. Huge. He encouraged me to let God tell you no if He doesn't want you to be in the ministry. He said, go ahead and assume you're going to be. And let God change it. And he was a huge influence in my life to allow me to think of the future, to think of those spiritual things. So our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our children must be redeemed. Time, not just activities. Now, yes, those are great and fun. And one of the things we like doing together is going out and playing mini golf. There's a place, it's kind of a drive, but out there in Orange Beach where Chris told us about, there's a buy one, get one. Orange Beach Gulf Shore, somewhere right there. It's a pretty good little course. And you know, if Chris Whitney can afford to go, then you know if Chris found it, that it's the right place to take your family. It's a buy one, get one. And so all six of us could go for the price of three. And we enjoy, you know, playing some mini golf and things like that. And then we get really competitive. Seth and Jared and I do. And then Megan gets mad that we're being so competitive. And it's all around a fun time. But we enjoy doing some things. Yes, activities. They're fun, enjoyable. Do those things. But what about praying for your children? Talking about their needs with them as well. Teaching them, working with them. Even disciplining them, admonishing them, redeeming the time with the relationship with our children so that it's the urgent, yes, there's urgent things to do, but that is very important. That is very important. And we've got to learn to be able to prioritize certain things to know that, yes, there's urgent things and sure things come up at the last minute and you have to stay late or do this or, oh, I'm going to have to work a weekend here and there or whatever you have to do. Don't let the urgent become the enemy of the important. Then measure your choices by durability. This sounds kind of strange, but how long will your choice last? You're going to make a choice about something. Some of them may only, well, this is going to affect me for the next hour. It's going to affect me for the next few minutes. Or it might affect me for the next years. We've got to be careful about making those choices. Durability helps us determine the value of that choice. And so when we have choices before us, which one has the greatest value for eternity? For eternity. And finding the balance in those things. Quickly, past neglect versus present need. Yeah, there may be times in the past where you have neglected or haven't been as much as you should have been. Can you make up for it now? Probably not all of it. But start somewhere. Start somewhere. It's better than not starting at all. And spending that time spiritually also. With your family and your children. Now, he's got an example that he puts in the book, and I don't know anything about this because I don't have daughters. But I do, you know, see teenage girls in school, and I don't know what I usually say. Go see Mrs. Brainerd, Devin. Yes, she will help you with that because I have no idea what to say. You know, I don't have daughters, but yeah, I do have a good relationship with them, enjoy talking to them. But here's one he gives. He says, your teenage daughter is feeling unloved now because she just got braces and some of the teens are making fun of her. Okay, that actually happens, right? You know, just be real. That kind of stuff happens. Teenagers make fun of other teenagers? What? Jake, why are you smiling? They all have braces now, so it doesn't matter. But or somebody's making fun, whatever the case may be. And that's, for some, that's hard sometimes. You're 14 years old or whatever. It's hard. And, you know, this is why I don't have daughters is because I would do the exact opposite of what Dr. Brock said. He says, instead of dad telling her, tough it out. That's me. That's why I don't have daughters. I'm a failure. Anyway, perhaps he needs to spend a little extra time with her and reaffirm his love to her. That it's okay. It doesn't matter. Let's talk about why you shouldn't feel that way. Okay, you have braces. Great. You know, it's not a problem. And reassure and talk. You know, it's like Brother Mike Schrock was talking about when his son fell off the bike. Be a man. You know, it happened to Seth and I one time. I think I've told you that story. He was playing second base and the ball came up and hit him square in the mouth. I mean, line drive. Bounced, hit something, and he was about to field it, but it went and took an angle and just went straight to his mouth. And I mean, it was a blood gusher. Just the blood's pouring down his chin, and the ball's laying there. He's like, I said, get the ball! Throw him out! Out. I said, all right, now we can check on you. Boy, you should have seen the moms in that stand. Megan's like, don't know him, not my husband. Hey, he got the out, right? And you know what? He's alive. He's alive. He didn't die. Or about 3 years ago was a very sad day for me. Actually, we were looking back at some pictures of that where he was on his senior night in soccer and he was out there by himself early warming up and getting ready. He was so excited. And then that's when he blew his ACL, completely obliterated it. And I was like, son, you probably just sprained it here. Put these three knee braces on. And he did. And he went out there and played in the second half for about 15 minutes. And he goes, I'm going to kick it. My leg doesn't move. And I was like, oh, I think he actually hurt it this time. You know, and of course, the MRI showed, well, son, we don't even see an ACL in there anymore. It completely just snapped and shriveled up and went back into your legs. And so we're going to give you a new one by using your hamstring. Okay. But that, you know, I was like, oops, maybe I was a little too rough on that one. I'm not good at this stuff. But it's reaffirming instead of getting all gruff all the time. Our children need to know that, I'm not trying to be emotional. I'm not that kind of lovey-dovey therapist kind of stuff. But I'm not trying to be emotional. But our children need to know we care about them and that we love them. And that they're worth the time that we want to give to them and support them and spend with them. And that they are a priority in our lives. Just real quick, last couple things. Measure your choices against your standard of value. How do you value your time? Is your time valuable? You say, oh, it's my children are valuable. I'm going to spend the time. The world tells you that, oh, I think I deleted something. Typo. Sorry about that. The world tells you that things make you happy. It just went to the next line. Sorry. Things make you happy. So you got to keep making more money to get the things to make you happy. And if you don't get your kids things, then they're not happy. Dangerous. So we're going to spend all of our time getting the money to have the things, and all the kid wants is to ride a bike with dad. Or sit down and watch a baseball game with dad. My kids, unfortunately, don't like baseball like I do. I'm a Braves fanatic, and go Braves. They beat the Mets 2 games in a row. Very excited. Sorry if anybody in here is a New York fan. My boys, they like baseball some, and they'll watch the playoffs with me, but they've never been into baseball like I was. I loved baseball growing up. But Jesse will come in sometime, Dad, are the Braves playing? Yeah, man. And they'll sit up there with him and watch the Braves. It's kind of cool. I like that. And or whatever. I guess, Asa, do y'all watch soccer together? Sure. I'm sure you have all those teams that I don't even know about, you know, so, or basketball. You're doing some things with your, that's all, you know, I went out and bought them this $40,000, blah, blah, blah. What? Okay. What if they just wanted to go down and get a burger with you and walk around the lake? Boy, that costs you $5. That's a tough one. And, well, $800 in gas to get there, even though it was 3 miles away. But a 4 for $4, which is now a $5 thing, I think, right? Maybe they should just go to Burger King. Go to Burger King. Ace will take care of it. It'll be cooked right, be made appropriately. And then you can get those coupons where you can get, or two for 10. 2 for 10 meals I'm advertising today. 2 for 10. So it's you and your child. 2 for 10. Take it down to Russell Harbor. Got a great time. Right, Chris? I know he did that quite a bit. Go jump in a kayak. I'm going into the trees. No. Yeah. You don't have to have the things, is what I'm trying to say. What about the time? What about the time? And that's something we can always improve on. Father, just thank you so much for your love to us, for our families and the children you've given us, and help us to be faithful stewards to redeem the time, Lord. And we just pray for our children. We ask, Father, that they would see the priorities of serving you, that you would work in their hearts, Father. I pray that you'd bless our service today as well. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.